My brothers and sisters, the scripture lesson this morning is taken from the book of Joel, the second chapter, and I want to read verses 28 through 32. Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, even on the male and female slaves. In those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. How gracious God, that the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our redeemer. Amen. There are some jobs that I don't think I would like to have. And one of them would be that of a weatherman. For with all of the technology and radar, there is still so much that is beyond your control. I don't know about you, but this week, at one point I had on the air conditioning, and another point I turned on the heat. When you have expressions that surround your work, like, if you don't like the weather, just give it a minute and it'll change. Or as they said to a friend of mine when he moved to take a church in Wyoming, they said, the wind does stop in Wyoming. It stops to change directions. There is something about trying to understand the future. There is something about trying to understand tomorrow. I use this picture of the weatherman to give us the sense of what it must have been like to be a prophet in biblical times. For a prophet was one who was called out, a person who could still hear the voice of God and therefore chosen to be a messenger, a person who could understand the present danger, a person who could interpret the present judgment, but also a person who could see and have inspired visions for tomorrow. The book of Joel is only 3 chapters long. Joel means Yahweh is God. Joel is writing at a time when the land is filled with locusts and the people are needing to repent and to return to God. This is the burden of the people for that moment. Joel announces the need for repentance and that God will provide restoration. The very land that has been torn apart will bear fruit again. Those who are hungry will have plenty to eat. God will once again bless the people, and they will experience the presence of God in their midst. Joel sees even more. It is what we believe that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. For Joel's prophecy was Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. I will pour out my Spirit on all people, and the gift of the Spirit would not be limited. The gift of the Spirit would not be for a chosen few, but sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. One writer put it this way: whether this is something new or not, age, sex, or class will not constrain the pouring out of God's Spirit. What Joel was offering the people was an invitation to believe that there was something beyond their present condition. There was the promise of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the time is fulfilled. The church is born. It is to be a place. The church is to be a place that is alive. Let me take it one step further and say that we as persons in the church are to be filled with the Spirit. It's strange to say it, but sometimes it's not only strange, it's sad to say that sometimes the power of the Holy Spirit and the church are not connected with each other. There's a story told of a man who went to a church and the people were cold and indifferent. The service was without joy. There was ritual and no Spirit. He could hear the whispers of gossip and indifference in the hallways. The man went home and prayed and said, "Lord, I just can't go back to that church anymore." The Lord answered his prayer and said, "I know what you mean. I've been trying to get into that church for years now." The Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is real, and it is in our midst. And so the challenge becomes to grow in the Spirit. I cannot imagine how much money is spent on how-to books. How much is spent on increasing self-esteem? I would not dare to guess how many religions and practices there are. People all seeking to find that spiritual hole, to fill that spiritual hole within their life. Over time, this search has led to tragedy. It's been a number of years ago now, but some might remember Jim Jones and the tragedy at Guyana. How many lives were lost as a part of that massacre? It is said that even an atheist has spiritual needs. We do not, we in the church do not have to wonder, for the presence of the Holy Spirit is here for us. And we can be filled. We can grow. What does it involve, you ask? Well, it's risky. It's risky. It's risky because it involves change. It involves change. It was Archie Bunker of All in the Family who said, "I don't mind change as long as everything remains the same." The Holy Spirit is risky because it involves change. Think for a moment about the gifts of the Spirit. We have them on walls. We have them on bookmarks. We memorize them. The fruit of the Spirit, it can be found in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Each of these things would desire to consume our heart and our mind. For example, a person cannot say that I hate, not when the Spirit is love. Not when the Spirit is saying, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Another example for today is that we all know of worry and stress. There is so much pressure in our life. From a young person trying to get an education, having to deal with peer pressure, to our most senior of person, struggling with assurance, struggling with health care. From the youngest to the oldest, it would be easy to say, I'm going to give up. Not when the Spirit is peace. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you. Do you see what I'm saying? It is the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit that can change our very life. Joel saw the Holy Spirit. He saw the Holy Spirit as a promise in the midst of suffering. Peter saw it as the foundation by which the church can grow and bear witness to Jesus Christ. The promise of the Spirit. It is here with us right now. Oh, it is all around us. It is all around us. I have sensed and felt it in so many ways. It is all around us. It is here right now. Well, we have a decision to make, don't we? Will we allow the Spirit to bring about change? Will we allow the Spirit to bring about change? It can change your life. It can change mine. It can change the very life and destiny of this, our church. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and bring about your change. Amen.